Yo, the center console could fit both big gulps in them. We're spinning out, hit the guardrail, boom. Chuck E. Cheese, SeaWorld, KB Toys, Universal Studios. It was a fun first car.
Yeah.
Pumped it full of just eBay junk.
I
didn't know you couldn't drive through water.
What up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you in part by HelloFresh. You know what HelloFresh is? It's the service that brings farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes right to your doorstep. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. I love HelloFresh because I love to cook, right? I do. I love cooking, and I'm not looking for something that replaces cooking. I'm not looking to have meals, complete meals delivered to me and basically reheat them, and then I feel like I'm eating leftovers or something. It's never that great. With HelloFresh, I still do the cooking. It's just that the sucky parts of the cooking are eliminated. Trying to spend time figuring out exactly what to make that's not just a repeated thing I make every week. Going to the store, wasting time, digging through produce. HelloFresh handles all of that. The recipes are really easy. The recipe cards they send you are clearly printed. You know, you can read them from a couple feet away. They got big fonts. They got nice pictures. They're the kind of thing that once you make the recipe, you keep it around. That way, if you ever want to make the recipe again in bigger quantities for a party or something, it's great. The produce and the meats are always fresh. Right? And the way they package them and deliver them, it's very easy, right? All the spices and stuff that if you go to the grocery store and you want to get seasonings and spices that you don't just keep on hand, and you're trying to make one recipe, you end up spending $7-$8 on this jar of spices to make one recipe, and then it sits in your cupboard forever, taking up space, going bad, and then a year later when you want to use it, then now you got to go buy it again. I like HelloFresh because they give you the exact amount of seasoning and spices and stuff that you need. And that way, there's less food waste, right? All the produce, all the meats, all the seasonings, all the sauces, they're the exact amount you need. So you save time in the measuring out phase. You save dishes because you're not using measuring spoons or measuring cups. It's great. You could bust out the grill on a nice warm evening and make a dinner from HelloFresh's cookout collection with recipes like Melty Monterey Jack Burgers. It is great. You can customize dishes with Hello Custom by swapping out one protein or side for another, upgrade for a more luxe experience, or add protein to a vegetarian meal. That means more choices, more variety, and more meals truly tailored to you. It's 72% cheaper than a restaurant and cheaper than grocery shopping. That's money back in your pocket. So go to HelloFresh.com/SmokingTire16 and use code SmokingTire16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh.com/SmokingTire16, code SmokingTire16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. You need to use the URL and the code. HelloFresh.com/SmokingTire16 and then code SmokingTire16. All right, we're also brought to you today in part by Policy Genius. Right? We pay hundreds of dollars a year to protect our homes, our cars, and even our phones, but too many of us aren't taking any steps to protect our family's finances. Mortgage payments, private student loans, and other types of debt don't just disappear if something happens to you. A life insurance policy can provide your loved ones with a financial cushion they can use to cover these costs, and it can provide you with the peace of mind that even in a worst-case scenario, they will be protected. And having life insurance through your job might not be enough. Most people need up to 10 times more coverage to properly provide for their families. And coverage through work isn't portable. If you leave your job, the policy doesn't go with you, meaning there could be a gap in coverage when you need it the most. Life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, so it's smart to get a policy sooner rather than later. By making it easy to compare your options from top companies, Policy Genius can help you make sure that you're not paying 1 cent more than you have to for the coverage you need. Policy Genius is an insurance marketplace that makes it easy to compare quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in one place to find your lowest price on life insurance. So you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Options start at just $17 a month for $500,000 of coverage. Just click the link in the description or head over to policygenius.com to get personalized quotes in minutes and find the right policy for your needs. The licensed agents at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, and they're on hand through the entire process to help you understand your options so you can make decisions with confidence. Policy Genius doesn't add extra fees, they don't sell your information, they have thousands of five-star reviews, and they have options that offer coverage in as little as a week, avoiding unnecessary medical exams. So head over to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. Also brought to you in part today by Off the Record. You know Off the Record. We talk about them all the time. Off the Record is the way to avoid having a silly little ticket ruin your driver's license, your insurance, and your finances for years, right? Tickets are not necessarily about safety, unless you do something really dangerous or egregious. Many times they are about raising money for the state, raising your money for the state. And that means there's a whole financial ecosystem around you getting tickets for something very minor, and you're just trying to get to work, right? You get a ticket, you plead guilty, there's the fine. You go to court, there's court costs. You're found guilty. Your insurance rates go up for years sometimes. It's a whole roundy round ecosystem that you do not want to be a part of. That's why Off the Record is here. Off the Record is a service that will match you with a qualified attorney where you live, in your jurisdiction, where you got that ticket, more importantly. Maybe you got that ticket somewhere far away from home. Maybe that's why you should use Off the Record. Imagine you getting a ticket and then having to go all the way across the country to a different state to go fight it later. I mean, that's an excellent reason to use Off the Record. They will go fight that ticket on your behalf. You don't have to go back there. That's another expense that you don't need from getting a dumb ticket. I once got a ticket in Virginia, and I lived in New York, and it was mandatory court appearance. I had to go all the way back down to Virginia to fight this ticket. It cost me thousands of dollars, right? If I had Off the Record at this time, they could have just gone for me, made the points go away, kept that ticket off my record, saved me time, saved me money, saved me headache. So, two ways to use Off the Record. You can go to offtherecord.com/TST, or you can download the Off the Record app to your phone and use code TST10 on the Off the Record app. Either method will save you 10% on any legal services booked through Off the Record, okay? Download the app, have it in your phone, you're ready to go. It's so easy. If you get a ticket, you just upload a photo of the ticket to Off the Record and they will do the rest. So go to offtherecord.com/TST or use code TST10 on the Off the Record app. That is how it's done. It's very, very easy. All right, folks, I've been trying for 3 years to get this dude on the podcast. He's bad at the DMs, as it turns out, but he is great on the radio. Eugene Hertrech, a.k.a. Hurt. From Hoonigan, this dude is legendary. He breaks everything he touches. He is hilarious. He is very engaging. He's smart. He's funny. His videos are hysterical. And according to the magazine I work for, Road and Track, he is one of, if not the most important automotive influencer today. We go through Hurt's entire life story set against a backdrop of all the cars he's broken. Hurt is on the Smoking Tire podcast. Oh, and sidebar, the book I recommend to him, which I've recommended to many of you in the past, is The Power of Now. If you want to get out of your own head and be more present, The Power of Now is an excellent book. Hurt on the Smoking Tire Podcast. Here we go.
We're here. Fucking when Vin was here the other day, he told me the origin story of meeting you in an English town hotel room.
Yeah, it's a memory that escapes me. You know, it's like you're just by yourself living your best life.
That wasn't like your that wasn't like your first Hoonigan experience.
I had already been working at Hoonigan like 3 or 4 years like that.
Oh, so you were like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, I was, you know, well, we were there to give like people won a contest to come there.
Oh yeah.
So like random guy comes to my room, I'm like, no way that
you're like, is this how the contest works?
Yeah, you know, surprise.
No, the prize is you share a room with her.
Yeah, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing. It's been an interesting ride, man. It's been, I'm going on 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been insane.
Were you, how much of you is shaped by the last 10 years of being with this crowd, and how much of it comes from you beforehand? Obviously you're fucking you, but the fucking dirtbag breaking cars, fucking so unprofessional. How much is of that
the reason why my relationship with Hoonigan worked is because the brand literally is my definition, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like the reason we came together and everything is like, so I had already been making videos, Drifting, Drift Alliance guys, you know, Turk, Forsberg, all those guys. I was hanging out with those guys at English Town a lot, making videos of them and of other things. But hanging out with those guys ended up at a party where Scotto was, and like, we don't remember meeting each other because we were both drunk, but there was a picture on Facebook of us sharing tacos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we're like, all right.
Where was the party?
Do you remember? Forsberg's house. Oh, okay. I think he just won a championship, and everyone was just having a good time.
This was what, 07, 8?
2010, 11, okay. Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we just became friends off of that photo alone, and then, like, I was doing my thing. I had my RX-7 with the V8.
Were you doing competition or just fucking around?
No, I honestly, this year is my first year doing competition. I've never done competition drifting before. It's always just been for fun.
Yeah.
So it's been fun, like, trying something new. But
is it weird to take something that's, like, always been a fuck around thing and make it into, like, a competition? Or did you feel competitive even while fucking around?
The competition part doesn't feel weird, but turning my passion into my career, that part kind of got, like, it was, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know, it's not a bad thing, but it changed it a little bit, you know?
It does, driving sports cars is really fun until you fucking have to.
Right.
And now now I got to pay my mortgage. I have to go drive whatever the fuck is around.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I know how you feel. It's still cool.
It's still super cool.
Better than doing a lot of other things.
Yeah, I mean, I could be at Walmart or, fun fact, I was Chuck E. Cheese for 3 days when I was 16.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean like in the
I
costume?
I was Chuck E.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was Chuck E. for 3 days.
Oh, dude.
I was like, this is not the life
for me.
How
did it smell in
there? You know, I don't remember the smell, but I just remember, like, you know, goggle vision where, you know, I just remember looking at stuff through that rat head.
But maybe that trained you for, like, spatial awareness, you know, for drifting. Proximity. Like, you can't see the bear, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the proximity.
Have you ever tried to drive a drift car as Chuck E. Cheese? I mean, I think there'd be... There's a good throwback video. If we all did a fucking video wearing the outfit
of
our shittiest job.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I slung shoes at Foot Locker for 6 years, dude. I was the ref's outfit.
Honestly,
bullshit.
The ref's outfit in the Mustang, that's kind of hot.
Oh, that would have been good.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah, it would have been all right. Maybe I should get fucking, the homie, he's always trying to get me to get a new custom racing suit from him. Maybe I should get one that looks like the rat's outfit.
Sign me up for a rat suit.
If you're going to
that's my helmet. I'll get Chuck E. Cheese painted on my helmet.
Dude, we're both, like, profile enough at this point. We're going to get a trademark. Fucking Chuck E. Cheese is coming after your ass.
Honestly, the best thing that could ever happen to me is to get sued by Chuck E. Cheese. Like, 100%. That's
like, you're taking me seriously? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. All right. Elevate the profile.
Seriously, man.
You You should. I bet you could find a rat suit somewhere.
That would be kind of
fucking
funny.
eBay's got one. That like would be someone. Funny. What's that fucking fast fashion site? Yeah. Like
I don't even know if Chuck E. Cheese was my worst job. It was
no. What was your worst job?
Well, I was. I worked at SeaWorld for a little bit, like summer. You know, a summer job. I was 16, and I was the cotton candy guy. You know,
spun him up.
Yeah,
can you still do it?
No. Sorry, not the spin up guy. I would walk around the crowd.
Oh,
and
with
sell,
like 25 cotton candies. That's a sucky job.
But that, you know, that part of it wasn't the worst part of it. The dolphins were bullies. Like you would walk by the dolphin, and they would attack you.
Well,
with
they
water.
Had fucking PTSD. Yeah, as dude. It turns out,
I
you
go,
were like these look. Dolphins are assholes. Now you're like, oh man, they were abusing the fuck out of these dolphins.
Oh, I totally get it. I don't represent that place.
Bro, $419. You're in fucking Chuck E. Cheese. Was that the rat suit?
That
give or take.
That looks. It was a. I feel like the head was a little.
Yeah, this feels like a knockoff.
That's a.
Yeah.
Is this Wish.com?
Shop pajamas.
Yeah. Oh, those are pajamas?
Which is a website I never knew existed, and now I can't look away from.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, Chuck E. Cheese has definitely got to sue them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah.
So, cotton candy at SeaWorld, Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, you had some shitty ones. What else was in that list of terrible?
Those are probably the... I worked at like KB Toys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Retail's rough.
Dude, that was terrible.
Retail for kids?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was a terrible time. I remember that too.
My first job was at Woolworths.
Yeah. Woolworths.
Yeah, remember Woolworths?
I don't.
Woolworths was like a shittier Kmart.
Okay.
Like it was the original
I don't
Kmart.
I think they had that in Florida. I grew up in Florida.
Yeah. How old are you?
35.
Oh, so you're a little younger than me. So
I know Kmart.
My dad was the fucking CEO of Woolworths.
Wow.
Which also owned Foot Locker. That's how I ended up working at Foot Locker.
It all comes.
And I worked fucking hard at Foot Locker. But at Woolworths, and my dad shut Woolworths down. Yeah. That's why it doesn't exist anymore. That's why I'm 40 and you're 35. That's why you've never heard of it. Because you were 10
right.
And I was 15 when it was
just done.
But I fucking stacked shelves at Woolworths, and the only thing I really learned from Woolworths is what dead rat smells like.
Dead rat.
Now I can smell dead rat instantly just anywhere I go. I've walked into grocery stores and made a fucking hard nope.
Just like,
fucking about face.
Can you explain the smell? It's just a...
It's like, it's simultaneously like disgusting, but also kind of like, this sounds wrong, but kind of sweet. Almost like in the same way that like weed smell could be kind of sweet.
I see.
Or like citronella candle could be kind of sweet.
Right.
It's like kind of like that, but also really gross. But once you smell it and someone has identified what it is, you'll never fucking unsmell it.
Right.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Okay.
So that's a life lesson to know.
Because, I mean, I'd like
the presence.
I mean, that's not a bad smell to have. It's a good one to bank.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Very useful.
To about face at a grocery store because of dead rats.
Yep.
I'm into that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always, a lot of businesses, like if you ever go somewhere where the grocery store is underground, like at the bottom level of a parking garage or something like that, that's where.
I've only been to one of those.
There's one right here, and
I think it was
the
here.
One in Marina Del Rey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't go there.
It's dead, fucking full of dead rats.
Fucking the instant, the second you walk in the door.
And I'm gonna walk in there just to like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's. If you wanna learn what this smell is like, to bank it, the Gelson's in Marina Del Rey.
There's no other weird thing here. I just want to know the smell.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. It's an important one to have. Just go. Okay, bank that fucking out. Yeah. So when you started drifting for fun on your fucking SeaWorld cotton candy money?
No, I didn't have any money then.
What was your first drift car?
So my first drift car was Mazda RX-7.
Oh, okay. So that's how you got down the rotary.
Yeah, so I'll backtrack a little bit. So, like, Chuck E. Cheese, SeaWorld, KB Toys, Universal Studios. Like, I had all these.
You made the rounds of fucking garbage jobs.
I did my best to work as shitty as possible for, my younger years of life. And then I fell into a... job valet parking at Hard Rock Hotel.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, oh, You know, I made 150 bucks a day. I spend 120 bucks a day. You know, like I was an idiot. I did not save a single penny from the 4 years that I worked valet. But it was just to be young and to get that kind of income. And like, it was a great time for me. So like
quite a few successful people we know, Zach being one of them. My friend, you know, Sarah, stunt driver, Sarah.
Yeah.
Stunt driver, Sarah, valet got discovered, valet parking. Yeah. Like people, valet parking is an entry level door into a car job.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, well, you know, if you love cars already, that job is...
You get so much experience maneuvering cars, and if you get your spatial awareness...
You never lose the parking. Yeah. You know, like, I can reverse.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's you never lose that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, my first car was a 1994 Honda Accord.
Okay.
EX with VTEC.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, you know.
It's actually a good car.
Yeah, yeah, I love that car.
That's a good car.
It's a great car.
Yeah.
My mom got it for me as a gift.
And Accords were still kind of like small then. It was before Accords got really big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
difference between an Accord and a Civic was more trim than size at that time.
Right. Yeah. So it was a still, you know, all things considered a, you know, limbo car. It was a fun first car.
Yeah.
Pumped it full of just eBay junk and, you know, sound system, enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
Anytime I
hear. What was your most shameful eBay junk?
All right, well, it's not even eBay. It's Home Depot.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So
the beginning of the end of this car is when I put a Home Depot ducting intake.
Yes.
Yes. Intake like a laundry, a laundry tube.
Yeah, and
yes.
I didn't know anything about IAX or anything. I threw all that shit away. Car never ran right again.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell my mom.
Your AFR was fucked.
You know, the Honda? And I was just like, well.
Man, this shit does not maybe that's just
that's no, just it's got loopy cam.
That's
now.
So that's funny.
Cold air intake sounds sick. You know, I don't know shit. So, yeah, there's that. And then I ended
up. We've all been there. It's okay.
Yeah.
I put a Hurst T-handle shifter on my, like you'd find on a fucking Boss Mustang on my Subaru Legacy GT.
Very nice.
Yeah. I did.
It felt like,
bro, I was ripping through gear. And phantom lights. And I put phantom lights on that bitch,
you went
too.
Through some stuff.
But this was in 97. Fast and Furious came out in 2000.
Right.
So it was shameful.
Was the movie about you?
No. If you want to learn if the movie... I was directly inspired by Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came to... He studied with me.
Like Street Sharks... Vest Vin Diesel or
it was bro the vest I did fuck with the vest. There's a picture of me over there with that car.
Really?
Yeah, and I had fucking I had Smash Mouth hair, a Greenwich, Connecticut North Face vest, and what you can't see is I'm wearing the 14 hole Doc Martens 9 inch nails boots. Nice. I was very confused.
You were into it.
Very confused.
Buried.
All right, so you ruined your Accord.
Yeah. You know this. On the, like this is gonna sound bad out loud, you know. Got that car, wrecked it. Got another car, not important, wrecked it. And then got another car that, you know, my mom was like, "I'm not buying you another car, dude." You know, so I wrecked two cars. She's like, "I'm not buying you another car. Figure it out." So I collected some cash from my valet job and bought my first car, which was a 1994. Two Honda Civic hatchback.
Okay, good car.
Yeah, EG6.
It was waiting for the part that's going to sound bad.
Well,
you're like famous for breaking cars.
Yeah,
telling me you broke two cars is like the least surprising thing you could tell.
But when you crashed them, were you like, was this your entry into performance driving?
No. This was my entry into learning that you need things for cars to function properly.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So the first one, my Honda Accord, it was raining. I'm in Florida. I've never changed the front tires
before. Of course.
Did a ton of burnouts.
Right.
You know? So, like, I'm just driving, and the car's just like, shoo.
Yeah.
You know?
And, and like, someone was like, no, when they get to slicks, that's good.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't learn then.
Yeah.
The second car, same thing. Bunch of burnouts, bald front tires. My friend, so I'm with my best friend from high school. His name is Chris. And we're helping his dad's best friend pick up his car somewhere way far away, right? And so... we drop them off at this place. It's so far away. This is before, like, you need MapQuest.
Yeah.
You know, to get places.
Yeah, you get them stapled together.
Yeah.
MapQuest.
So, you know, I take him to the place, and then he's gung-ho about racing me or whatever. And this guy's just dipping, you know? And I'm like, I don't know where we're going, you know? And we're going around this big off-ramp It's slightly wet.
Yeah.
I did the tire
same
thing
shit.
Again. And but this crash is something that's just embedded in my head. It's like the car spinning out. Me and my friend look at each other, you know, as we're about to die.
Oh, you got the time. And you're going, oh, this is going to be fucked up.
Full time warp. We had just stopped at 7-Eleven. We both got big gulps. the center console could fit both big gulps in them. We were spinning out, hit the guardrail, boom, big gulps smash into each other. All the fluids.
Fountain of
all the fluids in the air between us.
Hanging
and
like
the car
in space.
Spins and it all just lands on his lap.
He spun into it like in
the fluid,
space.
The
like,
fluid was in the air like and the car just and then gravity set right on
top of
him.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's something I'll never forget. I crashed.
That's like
cars.
A Wachowski film. Yeah. It's like the fucking Matrix.
Honestly, I can replay that endlessly.
That's hilarious.
Just like orange and clear fluid smashing together.
You're like, grab the cup and catch it.
You should try to recreate that.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, we got high-speed cameras now. You could shoot that. Yo, fucking Ken, let me get one of those 240 frames a second.
Can I get like half a percent of Gymkhana budget to make a film about me crashing a car and soda flying everywhere?
Yeah, then you got to hit a guardrail.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Okay. It could be like a Mythbusters segment.
Can you recreate that?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Dude, recreating your funniest car crash would be a good one.
So, I crashed those cars like a dipshit, but...
So you got the Civic. You scraped together, Civic, got a Civic hatch. Good car.
Cut the springs, got an actual eBay intake.
Good car, immediately ruined.
Yeah. Nice car. It was really clean, you know? It was a really nice car.
It's worth $40,000.
I'm currently in this phase where I'm just trying to buy all the cars that I had or wanted but never could build.
Yeah.
You know, and just trying to do that. Which is a mission of its own. But, I got the Civic. I cut the springs, put a cold air intake on it, put eBay headers, you know. This one worked. This one worked. It did sound like that. Yeah. But no weird IAC thing, nothing like that. But I forgot that I actually did this. Cold air intake. It rained. My neighborhood flooded. I didn't know you couldn't drive through water. And... just sucked up, blew the motor. Yeah. Took it to my friend's house, pulled the plugs out, cranked it over, shooting water out.
Oh, no.
We swapped the motor, but I forgot all about that phase until right now. You know, I forgot that.
That's what we do here.
That happened.
We make you relive your childhood car trauma.
All of my dipshittery just flooding right back into my brain. But eventually, get the motor swapped. I learned a lot from that situation.
You put a better motor?
No, same motor. Yeah, D15, nothing crazy.
So you have the mechanical knowledge for that swap, or did your friend Sherpa'd you?
Another one of my best friends at the time, so his family is what got me into cars. My family's not into cars. I don't really have any other car influence other than video games and stuff, but I didn't know you could do real stuff in cars outside of video games until I started hanging out with these people. So they were... A86 RX-7 people, and his cousin had just rotated fast cars. Like, he would just always buy something, enjoy it for a month, go to car meets, get something else. He was just always...
Was his cousin Vin?
Yeah.
Fast and Furious was about him. Like, sounds like.
Yeah, Vin's paperclip to GT3 story is insane. I don't know if he's... it's GT3 RS now.
He bought an RS.
He traded up.
You mean like in the last 2 weeks?
Last week.
Really?
It got announced today, right?
This weekend,
He got an RS?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Dude,
good for him.
He is just like, I've never seen someone do what he did.
And he sent me, there was the video about his house, because we were talking about mid-century modern architecture when he was here, and I watched whatever the YouTube video is about his house. His house is awesome.
Yeah.
I love his house.
And the build he did on that.
Yes, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for Vin. Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck.
Yeah, he put him, do the crime.
The paperclip to GD. Dude, that's funny.
Yeah.
Remember that kid who traded the paperclip to a Boxster, I think it was?
To a house?
He got a house eventually?
Yeah. Just
get the fuck out of here.
I think he became a book or something, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's cool. You ever try that?
No.
You ever try that shit? We should try that.
Honestly, it'd be a fun game if you can play it.
If you had a fucking contest at Hoonigan where everybody starts with,
here's 50 bucks. See what you can
buy. Yeah, start with a fucking Hoonigan t-shirt.
Yeah, right?
You know, that's some merch.
That's a great idea.
See?
I feel like I could definitely get a car out of a t-shirt.
I bet you get a new car in 4 moves or less.
Yeah, that's funny.
We should try that. We should do Smoking Tire versus Hoonigan barter contest. That'd be fun.
Oh, man.
You want to go against Ben?
No. I don't want to go against your audience size.
That's the truth.
Yeah,
your audience size, X level of Grimes, your fucking audience has garbage to trade for fucking days.
Look.
Everybody starts somewhere.
My audience is like, should I get the GT3 Touring or the Turbo S Lightweight? I have a $350,000 budget. What do you think? I can only afford to pay $100 over sticker, but like, that's the market, right?
I can get you an RX-7. I can't help you with any of that other
game. Yeah.
But,
So this family is helping you learn about cars, swap the motor.
Right. So my friend's uncle, big car guy. I don't know if I made this up in my head or if I remember this correctly, but I remember one time, like, he was a rotary guy. They're from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Ricans love rotaries, don't they?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like, no, stereotype. It's a thing. Legit, Puerto Ricans love rotaries.
100%. It's a thing.
Something about that flag on the hood with the sound of that engine, it really goes together.
Yeah. One time, you know, so my friend lived on, like, the main road. You know how they have houses on the main road? Mm-hmm. And then, like, just down the street, his uncle lived in the neighborhood, and he was, like, in a cul-de-sac. And I remember one time went to his house, and I don't know if I made this memory yet, but I remember he pulled this rotary, like, RX-2 or, like, a Corolla box with a rotary in it, loud as hell. Drove it around to the cul-de-sac, popped a wheelie, and put it back in the garage.
Probably something happened.
It was just, you know, just like, bop! You know, it was.
How old are you at the time? Like, 17?
Probably. Okay. 17, yeah. 17, 18.
Have you ever seen another rotary pop a wheelie since?
Dude, they do it all the time.
Do they?
Yeah.
I guess proper drag
cars.
Proper
it was a drag car.
It was a full-on drag
car. It was a drag car. And, you know, the cars they put those motors in are little.
Yeah.
600-700
horsepower. I saw some motherfucker with a Suzuki Sidekick or a Samurai. With a crazy rotary in it. And he had to build some thing instead of the soft top in the back. He got rid of the soft top. Yeah. He had to build some kind of contraption because the soft top kept getting blown out when he would cross like 100 miles
an hour.
That's
a big swap.
Is that popular? Yeah. The Samurais?
The Samurais and was it the Swift or something? What's the
Sidekick.
Sidekick. They swap.
Sketchy. All the time. Real fucking sketchy.
But yeah, so, you know, they're car people and they kind of help me, like, learn about cars. They helped me learn about RX-7. I remember watching Fast and Furious in movie theaters with these people and stuff, and like, so they kind of catered my car needs, helped me swap that motor and stuff. And then, like, one day I was picking up, my girlfriend had gotten a car accident. I went to go pick her up. We were waiting for the cops to come. There was just like a parked car on the road. Mm-hmm. Rain.
There's a consistency in these stories. You
know, is she borrowing your tires?
Yeah. Now that we're talking about this, maybe I did a couple burnouts in that thing. But you know, so I park like way off the side of the road, waiting for the cops to come and the, you know, whatever, to clean up the car. And some other person, like, we're sitting in the car. I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I just see lights.
Oh no!
Spinning, and I'm like, and boom, right into us. We're way off the side of the road. Like, I was like, okay, I don't want this to happen.
Oh, and, man.
Yeah, totaled my Civic hatchback. Oh. Like, my seat broke. Whack. You know? Like,
oh, that's, yeah, my back, yeah, that's is, bad. That's, I'm a ruined. Big hit. You got your permanent injuries, man?
I mean, it feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm working on it to try to, like.
We got a great back. We both have serious back problems. I have an amazing doctor. I'll give you a recommendation.
Yeah, please do.
We got the PT. So, we got the doctors. We got everything.
Matt and I are in the accidental fellowship program at this point.
I've got my fair share of crashes, so I need to join that club.
Yeah. I got a fucking wing named after me at the hospital. I've had the same back surgery twice.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm fucked.
Yeah, so. You know, when I was younger,
if it cracks your seat, that's bad.
Yeah, it smashed the seat. I was in the back seat, like, pretty much. It looked like a Ruffles chip in the car. Yeah. But when I was younger, you know, you could work through this stuff, but I'm not young
anymore.
Yeah, you
walked that right off.
Yeah, I'm like, it's caught up to me.
Was
you know,
she
not,
okay?
Yeah, she was fine. Okay. Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah. Now you're like, now we have no car. You were at the scene of her car accident.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that dude, sucks balls.
It's crazy.
That's a twofer.
Yeah, but everything in life happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Because the day I got my insurance check for that, my friend is driving me home from work, and there's this white, this is championship white. It was painted championship white, Mazda RX-7 FC. GTU, so it had the bigger brakes, the S5
tails.
That's
the good one, right?
Yeah.
The GTU is the good
one.
Well,
the Turbo 2, it's the Turbo 2.
I forget the trims of those.
Yeah, so it's Turbo 2, then GTU.
Okay, yeah.
And it's basically everything but the turbo.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Turbo motor. But I could be wrong, but it's something like that. But it had the aero mirrors, S5 tail lights upgraded. It was a beautiful car. I was like...
sold.
Yeah. So literally the day I got my insurance check, just dumped it on an RX-7, paid way too much for it at the time. I don't remember what, but I just remember later thinking, oh man, I think I got ripped off. You know? But
I should have shopped around a little.
But you know, the crazy part about this place, it was a used car dealership and behind it was a rotary shop called Fuego Racing.
Fuego Racing! Puerto Ricans are at it again, bro.
And the guy who built his motors, his name was Mickey.
Bro, I'd love to fucking be like, who built the shit? Fuego.
Yeah.
Fuego
Seriously.
Racing, baby.
Yeah. So I bought that car, and that was...
Is that the car you have now still?
No. Okay. No.
You've been through a few since then.
So he was driving in the rain.
Might have done some burnouts. I don't know. Didn't know much about tires.
I fully dipshitted that car, too.
Eventually. Really?
After I enjoyed it for quite some time. But, I got that car, and that's how I discovered, rear-wheel drive is fun.
Yeah.
You're doing a U-turn, you pop the clutch a little bit, it skirts out, you know, and I was like, okay, this is cool, you know, and then it just like, I went to an RX-7 meet, and that's where I met this guy, Chris, and, you know, he was really nice. He was like, hey, yeah, cool. He had an RX-7, obviously, at this meet. It was a dyno day or something where I was just hanging out, and he's like, yo, me and my friends.
RX-7 dyno day is called fucking air of disappointment.
It also brings in a lot of wasps, I think. It's based on sound.
The lawnmower community comes over. Hey, we hanging out. What's going on?
Is that the new John Deere? Oh, sorry, the RX-7 meet again.
Oh, you guys again.
We're mean, but RX-7s are cool.
Yeah, no, I love RX-7. You know, just yesterday, so I drove my FD to Hoonigan, just, you know, I'm trying to put some miles on it, get my head in the game for, like, finishing that car. And my friend's girlfriend goes, what is it? She never heard a rotary before. Why does it sound like it's farting? I was like, are you serious?
That means it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get this FC, go to this, meet this guy at this car meet, and he tells me, like, this is something that lives with me forever because it just feels like movie-esque, you know? He's like, yo, my friends, we're going to the secret spot.
Secret spot?
Yeah, we're going to the secret spot. We're going to go, you know, slide around the secret spot you want to go. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm young and stupid. Let's go do stupid stuff. And I'm sorry to tangent, but it's crazy to me what kids are doing these days. Like, stupid stuff these days.
Well, they have, can share it on the internet now. It's a whole other story.
Well, just the level, like, they're willing to go, like, no fear of cops or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what people are doing is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, anyway.
You were at an actual secret spot.
Right.
And, like, you're like, this shit's all going to fucking...
Yeah, right.
No one knows you're there.
They're going to Fast and Furious storm in, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like...
No, that was me, too. Like, it would be like, I was from New York, and it would be snowing, and I'd be at some giant lot of a closed department store sliding in the snow, and nobody gave a fuck.
Right.
No one could even see me.
Right, and you
But, like, I'd be like, they're going to arrest me for this.
And, yeah.
Like, now it's like, take over downtown intersection.
Let's find the biggest intersection in the city and destroy
we're
it.
We're going to the Capitol.
The 6th Street Bridge is closed right now.
I didn't even get to see it.
Dude, the dirt bags straight up won.
Yeah,
they won just, on the 6th Street Bridge.
It's
the
crazy.
Cops are like, you can't have nice things
it's
anymore.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So, you know, I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go to the secret spot. and so I follow him there. It's called the Sandlot because it's got just like a light dusting of dust over the concrete.
Like it's made for right. fucking you guys.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so these dudes are all drifting A86, S13, MR2, just like, you know,
yeah,
the cars. And they're like, before you can do this with us, you got to do donuts around that cone until we see that you're good enough, you know?
Wow, that's very pragmatic.
That's, like, actually, yeah. like, responsible.
Yeah, you know? Like, they're not just going to let some dipshit come in.
You need to audition at the Sandlot.
Yeah, seriously. And I don't know. I feel pretty old now, and, like, my memories are pretty vague, but, like, these things I've held on to, you know? And, or at least I've told the story enough where I convinced myself it happened just like that. But
same thing.
Yeah, right? But that's how I got into drifting.
Wow.
Yeah. How long did it take you to get to, nail the cone exercise? For the first time? Or?
No, within that time frame, okay. I think. But I still had a lot to learn. Like, the cone thing was just like a good warm-up.
That's how they start drift school. I mean, literally, if you go to drift school, that's like the first thing you have to do there.
It teaches you a lot.
Yeah.
You
know? Did any of those Sandlot fools become like professional drivers or anything?
Yeah.
Well, Chris.
Really?
Was.
Yeah, is Chris Forsman?
No, it wasn't Chris Forsman.
Okay.
We came from a different region. Chris, I looked up to Chris, like, coming up.
Yeah.
It's like, because, you know, as I was chasing my video adventures, making videos and stuff, I had a blog, and I gave Chris a sticker, and he put it on his Formula Drift car, and that just like blew my mind.
Like, I was successful.
Yeah, you know, like inspired me to do a lot of stuff. But like, from the donut part to so Kevin Lawrence, he was one of the Sandlot guys, and he went on to become a Formula Drift driver, and I'm now driving the competition car that he used to drive.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
He's taking a break from competition driving and stuff, so I'm like, oh, big shoes to fill. This is going to suck. But
it's funny how many of those competition cars stick around.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, new vinyl, right. Same fucking car.
They just sit there, you know? It's like, we built this thing. Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you going to do with it?
That thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But he went on to become a professional driver. He was always good.
Yeah.
Like, he could drive anything. We used to call him Showstopper, like, back in the day.
Oh, that's a cool nickname.
Yeah. Cause, like,
if someone called me fucking Showstopper, I'd be like, I'd put that on a fucking t-shirt.
Well, he would go to a drift event with a stock Corolla A86.
Oh, and destroy. Rip fools.
Dude,
yeah.
Just destroy it. Like, yeah. Like, fully leaning, about to roll over. Just, like, it was the craziest thing.
Yeah.
So he went on to become a pro driver, which completes the movie story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they taught me how to clutch kick. They, you know, taught me a lot of stuff. And that's how
cool
the beginning
fuck.
Of
yeah.
my drift journey.
And then you were like, I can make videos of this.
Yeah, eventually. Well, so the video thing happened because, like, my license got suspended from just being an idiot, you know? And so I'm like, well, you know, I sold my drift car. I was like, I still love drifting. I've, like, was fully, like, at the point where I lost my license, I had a couple different cars already. I went through a couple different phases, but I lived my life for drifting. Everything I did was so that I could go drifting. Mm-hmm. Like, every dollar that I made was so that I could go drifting. It just gave me a feeling of liberation.
Yeah.
Like, when I
once you do it, it's fun as fuck.
Yeah.
It's different from, like, setting a lap time or anything like that. It's way more fun.
I never really did. Like, I went to Button Willow recently. That was my first time.
At an actual, like, track day?
Yeah, it wasn't a track. We rented it for a video that we were doing. And we have that C8 Corvette.
The
Mobile 1 C8 Corvette.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, I guess, I should go try this grip racing thing out. Shit's wild.
It's hard. It's a different skill.
Yeah, 100%.
But if you get good at drifting first, it's easier to go back to grip than it is to.
For sure. I had no issues pushing the car.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
If you're comfortable
but
it's here.
There's still a lot to take in when you're doing that kind of stuff. Learning the track is like the one of the biggest pieces. But drifting.
Like, I have to know more than three corners of shit.
Well, when I'm drifting, I can go on a new track and read it.
Yeah.
Mid drift. Uh-huh. Like, that's a different, you know, setting yourself up for, you know, sideways attacks is easy for me, but, like, high speed, 120 mile an hour chicane, you know, apex, all that.
Different type of commitment.
Yeah, it's way different. Because you
Budmo is fun though.
You can really fuck some shit up.
It's fun and it's fun and you. It's a good place to learn because you can see.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't other than the little fucking that bullshit overcrest, mountain. Yeah. if they call it Phil Hill, that's the only one. Where you can't see, but it's still pretty easy to learn it.
Yeah, once you learn the line.
Yeah, but there's some tracks, like if you ever go up to Thunder Hill has like seven blind corners.
Shit's
yeah, and it's very challenging.
Such a wild course.
Yeah, it's cool, but it becomes a challenge to learn. Or like Road America,
that's
or Road
where
Atlanta.
Simulators come into play.
True.
Honestly,
true.
Simulators are game changing.
Yeah.
So you
sold cars because you sold your car because you had no license and got a video camera.
So I've never owned a video camera.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Fun fact.
Now there's a whole other story there.
Yeah. So basically like I lived my life, like I just drifting did something for me and it liberated me in a way. And like my father, he passed away when I was 13 and you know, when you're a child, you don't really deal with trauma. And you get older and then, you know, even now it's still like unboxing, you know, childhood trauma. And drifting just did something for me.
Yeah.
Where it just like freed my spirit.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just...
I have a book you should read. We're going to talk about it later. But there's a people who seek, and I include myself on this, by the way, adrenaline activities that are not just adrenaline activities, but that require you to focus on the task at hand. Skiing, motorcycling, racing cars, specifically as a way to shut off an overactive mind, I can relate to that 100%.
Yeah.
And I absolutely makes totally sense. But I have a book I want
to
read.
I'm interested.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
Drifting kind of just took me. You know, it's like I tried it, I loved it, it gave me a feeling that I never have thought of it like that, but that focus literally shuts everything off. And like
I need to be present right now, because if I'm not, I die.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense to the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lost my license, sold my car. I skipped a bunch of cars there, then just 240s and bullshit, whatever, you know. All right, I'll do it quick. The RX-7 that I bought with that insurance money, eventually turbo swapped it, and then eventually wrapped it around a tree. Yeah. And no, straight up dipshit. Like lifting around a corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lesson.
I learned.
It's a lesson
I've never done that again.
Lesson each time.
Expensive lesson.
Could have been a Porsche. I mean, it could have been. You know, you could.
So, did that, bought another RX-7, swapped my turbo stuff into that one, and then eventually blew that motor, sold that car, or traded that car for a 240, enjoyed a 240. And that 240 really honed my driving skills in. Because, like, I never really set up my RX-7 properly. I didn't have the knowledge to, and I didn't listen to anyone. I was just like, you know, nah, I'm good at this. I figured out. You know, I still have that
mentality.
Turns out
you could have made it easier on yourself.
Could have, right? 100%. Yeah. You know, and I don't like to blame the car. I just blame myself. Mm-hmm. It's just the thing that I do. And
that's why you wouldn't be a very good race car driver. Most of them,
your car sucks.
Yeah,
they turn a bad lap. They're like, something's wrong with the car.
Yeah, I mean, as you develop as a driver and become more confident, you definitely feel some stuff and you can address that. But I try, like, I don't know, it's just something I do. But got in a 240, honed in my skills, and then got into a S14 with an SR, did a lot more driving, and then everything came crashing down. Just made some mistakes, lost my license, and so I sold the cars, and I just had to focus on living, you know, because I couldn't drive, and I needed to take a step back, you know, because I was spending all my money drifting because it gave me a feeling that I can't explain, and I just needed it to thrive, you know, and so I was like, all right, well, I can't drift now, you know, I had to sell stuff, I had to get my life in order, get my money right, I just started working at Injuka Racing, and all my friends still drifted. Orlando had a very thriving drift scene, and I just wanted to contribute to it, be a part of it, because I still love drifting. So
were you working as a wrench, or were you working
I started at Injuku just like, they weren't hiring, you know. Recession happened, a lot of things changed. They had to, like, downsize their business for a while, and they weren't hiring. And so I needed a job. I didn't have my car, I didn't have my license. My friend worked there, so I could ride with him there. So I just started showing up and sweeping floors. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this.
Was this like a 2008 recession or 2000?
2008.
Yeah, because you would have been like 22.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah. 2008.
Yeah.
Because I worked there for 4 years-ish, 4 or 5 years. And then I came to Hoonigan in 2012, 2013. So yeah, 2008.
Yeah.
So they had just downsized majorly, rebuilding their company, not hiring. And I just forced my way in, you know, sweeping floors. Oh, they got a new product to test on their company car. I would, you know, put it on, whatever. And eventually they needed a salesperson to, you know, sell stuff. And I kind of slid into that
role. You were there.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I slid into that role and just, you know, worked there and ended up having pretty solid sales career there, you know?
Being there when people need stuff?
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. And I wanted to be in the industry. Like, I had done a couple of automotive jobs. I worked at BC Racing for a little bit, and then before BC Racing, I worked at just this Z shop. It was called Performance Factory. They just built 350Zs, G35s. I didn't make any money there. And then, you know, went to BC and then went to, I might have that out of order, but eventually got to Enduka Racing. And
they're pretty well known today.
They've been doing time attack cars.
They do drift cars. They do a bunch of shit.
They've been doing it since 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. Started in his garage and like, it's literally,
Is it all Nissans?
They do everything. Yeah, they do everything. Yeah. Performance parts for everything. They don't build customer cars. Uh-huh. They just sell performance parts and develop stuff. But 1999, and then I went there. You know, I left in 2013, and I went back. I've been going back to drive their R32 Skyline, and they have like 30, 40 employees there.
Yeah.
It's like crazy to see like how they've, you know, redeveloped and regrew into the wonderful
company. Now you have R32 Skyline.
Yeah, I do. It's sick.
It's cool, isn't it?
It's so cool.
Aren't they great?
Yeah. It's just such a cool car. You had
US market Nissans of that time period.
Yep.
Like, how much better is the shit they were getting in Japan? Like,
yeah, I know, dude. Like, it's insane that car never made it here.
Yeah. Like, I've had every...
It doesn't make sense to
me. I've literally owned every dope car from the late 80s.
Yeah.
And the Skyline is by far the best car globally.
It's so cool.
That you could buy at that time.
Why didn't we get it?
I don't know.
Did they just have beef with us?
I don't know.
No, you don't get this one.
Like, they could probably have made a lot of money selling them shits here. Yeah. Like, especially compared to like developing the 300ZX or whatever. Just give us this fucking thing.
Yeah, they gave us the 300ZX.
Skylines are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really fun car.
Yeah.
It's a really fun car to drive. I got, you know, I didn't buy a super nice Skyline, you know, but I got that car and then I shipped it off to Tommy F. Yeah. And they
still got it?
No, I got it back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I didn't drive it today because the power steering pulley's doing something, but, and that car's horrible.
Fucking Tommy.
Yeah, no, it wasn't him.
I'm just kidding. Tommy's a homie.
Oh, yeah. He told me.
Yeah, Tommy's great. Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He does know what
100%,
he's doing.
100%, you know.
Did he do his whole thing on
dude,
you?
Dude, the whole shit? Well, I call it the Obama special, you know, like the, you know, at Roscoe's, the Obama special, you know, because like I didn't bring him. People bring him really nice cars and then he does really nicer things to him. I brought him an okay car and he did what he could. But the engine bay is gorgeous.
Yeah.
The motor work is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they turned that car into a wonderful driving machine.
Yeah.
And, I've been dailying it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
It's been super fun to drive.
Yeah. They're so nice.
Just the power steering pulley started acting up. I got to figure that out. But that car without power steering is horrid. I've driven plenty of cars with no power steering, non-depowered racks, you know, just like none. And it's fine.
Yeah.
This thing is it's a hog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's got bigger engine than the RX-7s, plus massive. It's all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Nose-heavy.
So I could do it, but I was like, I'll just...
No.
Yeah. I don't think Matt cares to see this.
You didn't even park in a fucking driveway.
Yeah,
you parked on the corner.
I wasn't going to park my basic-ass, like, daily car.
Is your basic-ass daily
car? It's not mine, actually. So I have a bunch of cars, and I just ruined them.
Is there
them
like
all.
A Hoonigan beater?
Is it a Honda Fit?
Say it's no. It's my lady's Toyota Corolla.
Oh, all right, whatever.
But... So it's like, I bought a JZX 100 for a daily, slammed it, and then the tension rod bushings went bad. So I can't even do it.
I saw that car. It's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And then, but I figured you were going to do the hurt thing with fact that you intended a daily and then went,
traffic. I was fine with it stock, right? And then I got a flat tire. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to buy a new tire for this. I have wheels and tires. Mm-hmm. But if I put the wheels and tires on, I have to put the suspension on.
That is a very impressive slippery slope, I gotta say. You're like, one I got a flat tire. One I guess flat I need tire. To put full coil over.
I guess we gotta fucking slam this shit to the ground now. All right.
Oh man, new wiper blades, gotta engine swap it.
Dude, I know how that works though. I have been there.
Yeah, you know, and then it turns out the tension rod bushings are shot, so I have to do some work to make my daily again. So I just was like, you know, not gonna do that. I'm just gonna drive my Skyline. And that's been great for the last 2 months or whatever, and then this pulley just started acting up. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to drive my FD RX-7.
Just keep it rotating.
And that one is a work in progress. You know, it's breaking in.
Yeah.
It's got a built motor, single turbo, all that good jazz. But I've been having a slight issue with, like, a fuel system. I don't know if the tank or whatever is dirty. But it gets about 50 miles, and it starts kind of running a little funny, you know, after you clean out the lines and the filters and everything.
Wait, sorry, is this Torx Stallion or different
RX-7? No, it's a different RX-7.
Okay. Oh, this is the FD.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it needs, like, the Italian tune-up. Maybe you're not revving it high enough.
Maybe not, you know? On my way home driving that yesterday, I was like, is it... You know, it's not as, you know, and I was like, I'm not driving this one anymore either. So I just took the Corolla. I was like,
you know, you're like me. I got a bunch of cars. They're all in various states of.
Oh, man.
Various
Life
states
was much
of what
simpler
you.
When it was just the Torx Stallion.
Right?
It was just the Torx
Stallion. Just that and a bicycle. And
dude, it was good, you know?
Yeah.
But
when you can go, I don't want to fix this now. I'll drive something else. That's a tough slippery slope.
Because then
right?
it just spirals and you break everything you have and then you're left.
Then you have seven cars that don't work.
Man, I am, they call it first world problems. I'm over here complaining about it.
No, it's not. It's not complaining. It just is. It's just what happens.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what happens. And having like the it's not about having nice or not nice cars. Like the same kind of shit can happen if you've got a nice or not nice cars.
For
it's
sure.
Like there's no end to it.
Any car that's more than like 15 years old, let's say, if it's like a car that people buy because they're passionate about cars, it's probably gonna have reliability issues. It doesn't matter if it's $10 million $1,000.
That's just the name of the game.
Yeah. But you should see what the fucking bills. We got a Porsche 959 in there. You should see what the bills look like for that fucking thing.
I don't think I want to.
The battery died on it, and it was 4 hours of labor
to change the battery.
Yeah, because you see, the weight distribution is very important. So we put the battery in the optimum location for the weight distribution. Except when it dies, you have to disassemble half the car get it out.
Yeah. So the battery is actually located in Germany, so you have to fly to Germany to change
the
battery.
It's a special remote battery.
You ship your car to Germany.
God help you, a battery dies in a McLaren. Battery dies in a McLaren,
honestly, I don't know if that's a life.
What a fucking nightmare.
Like, even if I get that kind of money, I don't know if that's a life I'll ever live, like those cars. Like,
it's tough. It's tough to, like, keep up with the Joneses that way.
Yeah.
Have you had a go in modern supercars? You were fucking ripping on the fucking Huracan at SEMA. You were fucking beating the balls off of that thing.
Yeah, I've driven a couple. I think they're awesome.
Yeah,
like it's
Huracans are good because they're tough.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a car that takes a beating.
Yeah.
Huracan takes a beating.
I've learned.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah, it's like I got no problem with the cars or anything. It's just not what makes me.
It doesn't hook you.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know. Maybe that would change if I had a shit ton of money and could buy all this stuff.
It does.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, you probably have five working. RX-7s first, and then you go, well, now do I need a McLaren?
He just said five working RX-7s.
Yes. One working RX-7 and four non-working RX-7. No, if you consolidated upwards, you could get into it. But it's not your thing. I get it.
No, yeah.
And I'm not encouraging you to. But probably could if that's what you wanted. Especially because for you, it's a business expense.
Right.
It's a production. It's production budget.
We'll see where life takes me.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying these shitty cars right now, and I'm just gonna keep at it. But
the Torx Stallion is like what you're, I guess, known for the most, and that car. has been apart and back together how many fucking times?
I mean, I've had it for since 2011. End of 2011 is when I got it.
How many engines?
All right, so when I so when I bought that car, so all right. So you know, I did my car game, and then so at one point I had a first gen GS300. I wish
those were great.
Yeah, you know,
the first gen.
First gen.
That's actually like the JDM car that they just brought over here.
Yeah. So
as a toy, what was the Toyota version of that car?
Aristo.
Aristo. Yeah.
So I had a first gen GS300. I did an NAT conversion, so they come with 2Js.
Yeah.
You know, so I put a turbo on it, frontward facing manifold, single big turbo, all eBay stuff.
Yeah.
And
did it work?
Converted it to manual as well. Wow. This is like 2011, 20.
Was there ever a manual version of that car?
No.
Oh, so you had to do
so
a bunch of shit.
Yeah, so you just, you know, get a transmission.
Just Supra stuff, right?
Pretty much. Supra or SE300.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I you know, had this really cool first gen GS. NAT, I never got it tuned, right? I didn't have it long enough. So I finished it, and I was daily driving this car.
It was raining.
No. I learned the rain thing. At this point, I could control the vehicle. I was daily driving this car. AC still worked. Everything worked. It was great, you know? I just never got it tuned. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the money to buy a standalone and things like that. So I just, you know, it worked well enough. And
if you build something like that and don't get it tuned, is it what, just running wastegate pressure? Is that how it works?
Yeah,
like
just wastegate pressure, and hopefully it's rich, you know? And which it was. So, like, you know, I couldn't just hammer the throttle. You know, I had to ease into it, and then halfway through, it was sick. But
when you first run a car that was non-turbo, and now it's turbo, and you roll into it, you go, oh, wow, I just made this thing so fucking fast.
It was really cool. Like, that thing, I wish I took the time to, like, really get it dialed. I was going to, but the brake line was mounted above the downpipe.
Like, and where this is going.
I mean, that's where they're mounted, but I to make the kit work, you know, deleted ABS and had to make some stainless steel lines, but I just mounted it kind of shitty, you know, and the downpipe wasn't wrapped, and it melted the mount. The brake line fell on the downpipe, started a little fire.
Oh, shit.
So it wasn't bad.
I was wondering where you were going. Yeah, I was wondering if it was going to be a fire if you just lost brakes and crashed.
No, it was a fire. Didn't crash. I pulled into a Walgreens. My car's on fire in front of Walgreens. And I go inside. I'm like, yo, give me that fire extinguisher, to the guy at the counter.
They're like, aisle 5.
They're like, $37.
No, he literally looks at it and goes, no. And I'm like, my car is on fire outside. Give me that fire extinguisher. He's like, no. I'm like, what are you? Yeah, so I saw another one, went and grabbed it. Yeah, dude, it was crazy. No. Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean? You know, so I put it out.
Oh, my God.
It was right around the corner from my house. So I limped the car home, and then I ended up just selling it to.
I'm still stuck on this fire extinguisher thing.
Yeah.
Someone goes, my shit is on fire. There is a fire extinguisher. Who says no?
It's a Walgreens guy.
What the fuck is he saving it for? It's not like it's like Dave Walgreens behind the counter there. It's like corporate fucking bullshit.
So weird.
So stupid.
Yeah, my car is like about to burn down. But so I, you know, I
pull
have,
it into the Walgreens. Like, now you're gonna get
crash through the window real quick. So, you know, I just have a nice track record of dipshittery, and like,
yeah,
that happened, and it was about a month into having it turbo swapped and everything. And I really love that car. It was a dream to build something like that. There was a Friends Racing Aristo. It was a second gen, but I just always loved, after seeing that video, I was like, I love GS300s. Mm-hmm. And my roommate had a second gen as well. And,
the second gens were fucking cool.
That's what I have now.
Yeah.
So
when they came out with that, even like when the V8 won too, and it was like 0-60 in 5 seconds for this fucking, they were fast as fuck
cool,
for 1999 or whatever
cool.
It was.
They're super cool.
That was like kind of peak Lexus.
I love those cars.
They're built so well.
I've owned a ton of them. Like, if I see a black on black GS300, I'm going to go lowball.
You know
that
how hard
guy
they are to find?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really hard
I don't
to
even
find.
Need it. I'm going to go lowball that guy because I just love those cars.
Yeah,
so
there's
much.
Like, there's yeah. not a lot of them left.
Yeah, yeah. They're great cars.
Even like my mom had the first, the Gen 1 RX 300 and the Gen 1.5 when they got the Alteza lights.
Yeah.
And then when I was like young, I was like, what the fuck is this, mom? You didn't buy a Tahoe? Yeah, like, right. Now I'm like, fuck, those great things cars. Were built
all every,
impeccably.
Every single Lexus.
The materials were so good. The leather was so yeah. nice. Like, they're just
the best
tight.
Cars, man.
Yeah.
They're the best cars. I love them today.
Yeah.
And like just the other day, there was a GS300 silver, black interior, front windshield was smashed out. I was thinking about leaving a note on the car. Yeah, it was just part like it just
I got, don't even give a fuck.
Yeah, I was like, black interior GS, I need it.
Yeah.
I got a problem. But yeah, so I ended up selling that first gen to a friend. I think I traded him for an FDR X7. With a clean title,
okay,
no motor, lacking some interior, but I was like, all right.
Your shit didn't have a motor anymore either, yeah, so whatever. Right, yeah.
What? No, dude, he fixed it the same day.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he fixed it the same day. He drove the same day. I was like,
damn it.
I was just upset. you know?
Yeah.
And but it worked out. Like I said, everything happens for a reason. So I got this FDR X7, ended up selling it to one of my customers at Njuka Racing. Like, he didn't even live in the state. He was just one of my really good phone customers. He's like, I'll buy that thing. And so he bought that. I bought a Crown Vic because I'm like, you know what? Screw this. It's daily time.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, I've been struggling for a while. Let me get my ground set with a daily. My friend from Atlanta had a police interceptor, really clean. Bought that for $1,200.
Nice.
And daily drove that for a while. And then I did a neutral bomb and exploded the diff.
Rule number one, don't dirtbag the daily.
Yeah. Yeah,
I drove it for
use it a little bit.
I drove it for a while.
Now you were made for the job you had.
Yeah.
You started you started practicing.
That's what I'm saying.
So
it's,
long
it's,
ago.
It's just, you know, I'm yeah.
It would be very funny if everyone at Hoonigan had to actually write their Hoonigan, like their history. Resume,
yeah.
I bet it would be a hysterical like reading of everybody's. Yeah, it's, you're fucking you're pre-qualified.
I've skipped a couple things too.
Yeah,
you know. But
I feel like you met Scott and you're like, I have this word I've been throwing around called Hoonigan. He's like, that's a good idea.
No, I didn't come up with the name or anything like that. I'm just I've just been a part of the movement.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But
you're like, I haven't just killed 7 sports cars. I've killed 4 dailies.
This is amazing. No one can kill a Crown Vic, but
dude.
Even the fucking Orlando PD couldn't kill this car, and here we are.
So, you know, that happens. And then I have another friend. This guy, an old friend of mine, before, like, he was an early part of my car stuff, right? You know, car meets. I met him at a car meet. He came from a different state. He had a V8 RX-7. It was fast as hell. He became a part of my friend circle. And, like, I just always loved that car. Obviously, I had RX-7s. I never experienced a V8 one. This thing made, like, 700 horsepower. Yeah. Just big V8 spray. Just, like, stock suspension, so it just went wet. You know, it was disgusting, you know. And years go by.
That's a Florida car.
He moves on to like Corvettes and stuff. I think he spun a bearing or something, takes the heads off, puts them on his Corvette, parks the RX-7 under a tree. And I make a Facebook post about selling this Crown Vic, and he's like, yo, I'll take that thing. You know, I guess he had a diff or easy swap, you know. So I traded him my Crown Vic for his V8 RX-7, and it didn't have, like, the motor was blown, but it had everything else, a wiring, transmission, motor mounts.
For a V8.
For a V8, yeah. All of it. So I traded him for the Crown Vic. I got this thing, went to LKQ, got a 5.3 liter.
Nice.
And swapped it in the car. And
nice.
And that was the birth of the Twerk Stallion.
Oh really? That's
yeah.
What, okay.
That, yeah.
So that thing was pretty fucking ratted out before you even,
it. It was a really clean car.
It was?
Yeah, it was a really clean car. Like super clean interior, clean exterior, a little bit faded from being out in the sun for a couple of years, but like just had stock, like it was just stock suspension. So it was like you know, that was drag racing stuff. Yeah. I don't know. They liked the big squat. So the car was great. It was in
it's
great
condition.
It's
funny that he swapped a V8 into RX-7 and then went to a Corvette, because when I drove, I've driven V8 swapped FC and FD RX-7s.
Yeah.
And in both cases, I basically was like, oh, this is a Corvette.
Yeah.
Like it turns the RX-7 into a Corvette.
I don't know if
so
you've
you might
noticed
as well
this.
Get one.
I don't know if you noticed this, but people have stopped VA swapping their cars and they're just buying Corvettes now.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of doing a Corvette swap, let me just buy a Corvette.
Yeah. Because you'd end up in the same place anyway.
The amount
you might
of
as
money,
well skip the middleman.
Yeah. The amount of money and everything. It's just like,
yeah.
And Corvettes have turned out to be amazing drift cars.
So. Yeah. I did a video where I drove like a super nice turbo FD RX-7 back to back with a LS3 swapped RX-7, and I owned a C5 Corvette modded at the time, and I got out of the LS one, I was like, you've built a Corvette out of an RX-7,
yeah.
Like you might as well just have bought a fucking vet. And he's like, oh, okay.
I don't know. I mean,
it wasn't bad actually. I mean, it drove really nice, and it was quick.
That was set up well.
It was really set up. It wasn't over the top. It had really good balance and everything. But like, it might as well have been a vet. I mean,
right.
The distribution, the weight was like all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like it just might as well have been better rear end, because this was like leaf spring era. But
but
and now people are drifting vets.
People are drifting the fuck out of Corvettes.
Why weren't they drifting vets earlier? Were they just?
They were more money.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're more money, so they're not. Like, I wouldn't call them cheap, but you can find deals.
Yeah.
You can find pretty good cars for, you know, and then you just have to put suspension and angle on them.
Yeah.
Whereas you have to buy a 240 for 10 grand now, buy a motor for 5 grand,
yeah.
Buy a swap kit for 5 grand, buy.
That's the thing, is all the, quote, cheap drift cars got expensive because they got so popular.
So it's just like, we'll just skip all of that and buy. And Corvettes, they're cool, you know, they look cool. So that's how I got Torstein, which was, I guess, how we got here was your original question.
No, I said how many motors?
Yeah. So started off for me as a V8 car.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first V8 lasted a good 3 years. It was a great run with that one. And then, like, I turboed it.
And the 5.3 is like a truck motor, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. They're cheap, $500 at the time. Yeah. I think they're like $1,200 now or something.
Still
pretty cheap.
Pretty cheap.
It might be more. Don't quote me.
Made a lot of them since, too. It's like, they're out there.
For sure. So turboed it, and that worked for a while, and then like my map sensor came out one day in the middle of a burnout and I fried a piston, and then like from there it was just kind of like a bad luck string of motors. So I probably had like 3 different V8s in it, and then I went back to rotary in that car, and had the rotary for 2 or 3 years, spun a bearing in that thing, and which is a thing.
I got confused, but I didn't want to sound like an idiot.
Yeah, they have bearings too, not traditional.
Oh, in the what's it called?
For in the rotor, essentially.
Yeah, the shaft, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, spun a bearing in that thing, and I was like, I'm just gonna, you know, I'll just put a V8 back in it, because like I've been wanting to retire that car.
So what is it now?
It's V8.
Is it V8 now?
Yeah.
Is it a 5.3 V8?
No, it's a 6.2 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's gonna probably make 800 horsepower. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to retire the car.
And that's not a good way to do it.
And then I made some friends who build V8s, and they're like, "Yo, what is it?
You can't retire that car, man."
I know. Honestly, I've tried, and because like I parked it.
Yeah.
After the rotary, went south. And I'm not going back to V8 because I don't like rotaries. I love rotaries. I just shifted my mantra to I don't want the same motor in any of my cars.
Oh.
So my FD has a 13B. Yeah.
So
I don't
you want different experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Cool.
So none of my cars have the same motor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'll just put torque back to V8 because that's its former glory and, you know, done.
Yeah.
So
you said you're now at a phase where you're buying the cars that you either wanted as a kid and couldn't have,
mm-hmm.
or things that you had and ruined.
Right.
So what, you got the Skyline, which is pretty, that's pretty pinnacle.
Yeah, that was an impulse. Like things just kind of, my friend has an import business and Oishi Imports, and like.
Oh, I just met that guy yesterday.
Oh, really? You saw him
in
the Cosmo?
He was here with the Cosmo.
Yeah.
That thing was cool as
fuck. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's,
what's that guy's name?
Jesse.
Jesse, yeah. He was very nice. He was here. He came by yesterday with this wild fucking Mazda Cosmo.
Just fresh off the boat.
Yeah.
That thing, he just got that thing.
Yeah. And it was really, really cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And he was very, very nice.
Super cool dude.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize it was the same guy. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
So he imported my R32.
Cool.
But basically, I was just like going through a phase. I was like, oh, you know, I got a little bit of money that I can relinquish into an asset. And
not a bad buy.
Yeah, you know, and he kind of talked to me at the same time. I wanted a Mark IV Supra, but those are ridiculous.
And an R32 drives better.
I always wanted an R32, but I didn't think I could get one for a reasonable price. And I don't know why I thought the Mark IV I could get for a reasonable price, but I learned quickly that I couldn't. And then
the right-hand drive ones were cheap for a minute, for sure. And now people don't care anymore. It's all the same. Yeah.
But just
see the Mark IV with 53,000 miles on it, sold for $230,000 on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah, I'm never buying one of those cars ever. Like, no, I don't care if I'm rich. Like, not happening. I'm not, and that, you know, like even with Toyotas or old like sedans, like the JZX 100, they're $30,000-$40,000.
That's crazy.
I'm like, I'm not paying that much money for this Toyota sedan, you know.
Supers are nice, but that is not.
Yeah, so I've just kind of
driving experience I've written, that I would spend to it.
No, yeah.
So should I buy a Ferrari or a Supra? You know,
put the dash wraps around it. Yeah. So I've written Supers off of my list. I love them. I think they're cool.
Yeah,
More of a just like a nostalgic collection piece, but not for the price. And then he was like, well, I've got the Skyline that's been sitting in this lot for a while that I could probably get for you for pretty cheap.
No one who knows anything about Skylines wants it, but...
Yeah, right. And I was like, I didn't think about an R32 GTR. I was like, it was one of my favorite cars in like Gran Turismo when I was growing up and stuff. And I was like, let's do it, you know? And so we went through the process.
Had you ever driven one before?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Never driven one.
Really? So when you first drove that car, were you like, oh, fuck, this is fucking sick?
Well, yes, it felt sick, but it wasn't 100%. Uh-huh. You know, the car needed some love. Needs some bushing, suspension. Like, it needed some love.
But did you see the potential, right?
Yeah. I was like, I get it, you know? Yeah. The way that the motor pulls stock was great. Really cool. I was like, wow, that feels nice. And I like old cars. You know, I like the nostalgic feel. And then after the Tommy Effia thing, that car is just, I could drive it all day, every day. I just drove that car.
Built by Legends joint.
Oh, it's like, man.
$400,000, but it's fucking fire.
The Mines the collaboration Mines car? Yeah. Wow.
It's so sick. Yeah. It weighs nothing. It weighs 2,880 pounds.
That's crazy.
And it just rips. I love Skyline so much. I'd love to get another one.
It would have sucked to buy that car and hate it, but at the same time, I know I could sell it.
Yeah.
You know?
You can always sell it.
Yeah. So I wasn't really sweating it. It was like a little bit of an investment and an opportunity to own a car that I never thought I'd be able to own.
Yeah.
So,
And they're a good time. Yeah. It's a safe investment. It's a good time.
Yeah. But that wasn't on, you know, that wasn't a car.
What's left on the radar?
EG6.
Oh.
Yeah. I got to get that one back. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But those are starting to come.
Now, where do you find out what you got to pay for a fucking Civic hatch? It's like, dude, those SIs, those like 2000 SIs. God. I mean, they're
electric blue or whatever.
That was the shit when I was graduating from high school. Yeah. You had one of those. That was the fucking tits, and now they are expensive as a motherfucker.
I saw one in a parking garage the other day, being driven by like a 70-year-old man.
Yeah,
it was dirty, and he was over revving it as slipping the clutch. And I was like, "That's an SI." And he went past. I saw the badge. It's like, but that poor car.
Yo, my friend has bought one like 2 years ago for $4,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's got like a little faded paint.
That's okay.
Really?
It's had the cool like confetti style seats and everything in it.
The confetti. Yeah.
It was just like, what?
God damn, those things are fun as fuck.
I was like, yo, I'll buy this from you.
Yeah.
And he's like, no way. Yeah. And he's like, there's a couple other for, they're cheap. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Where I gotta look?
You might want to look into it. I don't know if they're still cheap, but.
The stock low mile, you want to find one with like a less than 50,000 miles stock, it's $35,000.
Yeah, nothing.
They're expensive.
Yeah, we have different shopping criteria than Matt's smart.
I'm trying to buy a collector's item.
I know, you're smart,
Nah, I don't need another project. I already got seven fucking projects.
I like buying on the edge. So that, so that I can smash it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and not intentionally just like, fuck this thing. Just I want to be able to.
If the shit goes down.
Like, if I paid $50,000-$60,000 for a Skyline and then took it to Tommy Effia and got his treatment and then have a $80,000 Skyline, and I'm not going to be able to be myself.
I understand.
You know?
I completely understand.
So
I have that E46 M3 in there that's literally like too nice.
Yeah.
and I love it. It's cool. It was probably a wise investment.
But you get in it and you're like,
dude, I wash my hands before I get in it. That's that.
I've never heard anyone say that.
I literally wash my hands before I get in the car.
You don't wash your hands before you touch your dick, but you wash your hands before you.
Yeah. My dick is worth not nearly as much money as the
and
fucking.
And it's more resilient.
And it's much more resilient.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Isn't it stupid? It's very dumb.
Oh, man.
And I have other cars that are, quote, worth more. I don't wash my hands because it's too clean.
That one just feels like special.
I might have to drive it today. I didn't even drive it.
I don't have
to drive
home
today.
I don't have anything special.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
I'm not a collector.
If you had to be, if your personality, my personality, I'm a bitch about my own cars, and everyone knows it. If you all of a sudden had to be a bitch about a car, it would be anti-hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I found the passion for driving cars, and I think I love driving cars than I love, more than I love cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to think I was a car guy.
That's what they say about Ken.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ken doesn't really like cars that much. He just likes going real fucking fast and beating the shit out of stuff.
You know, I used to think I was a car guy. I used to have a lot of useless knowledge about a lot of cars that don't matter to me from video games or just magazines or videos and stuff. And then, like, I got really focused on just driving, and I kind of forgot a lot of it, and I don't care to learn a lot of it again. You know, like, I used to know the difference between Porsches and all this stuff. I don't know any of it now, you know? So it's like I had this thought. I was like, I don't know if I'm actually a car guy. I think I just like
driving. Guy.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I really enjoy driving. I love RX-7s.
Yeah.
I love my GS300. I love A86s. I love those cars. So you could maybe consider me that kind of car guy.
Mm-hmm.
But like a general broad statement car guy, I don't know if I'm that, you know.
It's all right. We all have our areas.
Yeah.
Zach, do we have anything off the Patreon? We got a bunch of questions on the fucking Patreon for Hurt. Of course, if you want to talk to our guests virtually through the show, patreon.com/thesmokingtirepodcast. You can also get a ad-free listening experience. No commercials for you, my friend. You can also get the show the day it goes up and not have to wait till Tuesdays and Thursdays. Jake says, what kind of advice or words of wisdom do you have for today's upcoming generation of drift driving enthusiasts? Ooh, guess what? You're a thought leader now, motherfucker.
What kind of advice?
That Road and Track article fucking said you were a thought leader. It's a good article.
It was a good article. It was an honor.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, waking up and seeing that headline. Like, you know, it said the most important car person is black or whatever.
Yeah, it was good.
And there was a lot of people who was like, oh, why you gotta say black? Whatever, we can talk about that another time. But like, I don't think I'm the most important person by any means. I just want to lay that out there. But
that's why you don't say it about yourself.
Yeah,
someone else has got to say that
but
shit.
People read that and they're like, fuck you, dude. You know? And I'm like, I didn't say it. You know, I
think your attitude towards cars, it is inspiring to other people's you know, what other people could aspire to be. Drive shit, make it fun, you know, all
no,
that
I,
stuff.
I understand, and I'm stoked that I'm in a position where I can inspire people to want to do cars, you know? Like, it feels really special when someone comes up to you and say, only reason I do this is because of this video or that or this, you know? Like,
that's cool.
That's forever, you know?
So now that you're the most important influencer in the car world who happens to be black.
Words of wisdom. I mean, don't do it if you don't love it.
If you don't make much money.
Yeah, if you don't love it. Yeah, exactly. It's like if you're in it because you want to make money or you have some other motive. Like, I mean, you can do it. I'm not, you know, it's your money. But like, I suggest being yourself truly and doing it because you love it. And if you don't love it, pivot to whatever you love, you know? So just the best piece of advice I can give you is to follow your heart. And like, if you are having issues feeling like you're not connecting or getting exposure, then you just need to be active.
Mm-hmm.
Go to all your local events. The best thing that ever happened to me was when I started going out of state to drift. Mm. So save your money. Like if you have to choose between like 20 events a year in your state or 10 events and one out-of-state event, I would do 10 events and one out-of-state event.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, just because, like, the experience of going to a different part of the country, experiencing their version of drift culture or car culture, and networking and meeting those people and building friendships. You know,
that's a good one.
Yeah, that is, I think, important.
Yeah,
it's like, because it's not easy. You know, we're obviously older and at a different point in life on social media than other people.
Yeah.
So, like, we were, like, think about this. There are people who were super famous for us and aren't famous on social media
now. Right, right, right.
You know, because that wave skipped them. Like, they were out and social media happened and, like, which is crazy, you know? But
yeah, Robert Redford has a weak Instagram.
No, I know what you mean. There are people who I find on social media. I'm like, I have more followers than this super famous person? How does that fucking happen?
It's insane, you know?
Like a lot, especially like musicians from like the 90s.
Yep.
Totally.
Yeah, like, and what? It's like there's no reason you should
Why do I have more Instagram followers than the fucking singer of this fucking huge band?
They sold 100 million copies. You know, it's such a crazy concept. Social media has really changed, like, social media and YouTube, and so...
But also, social media is not a substitute for being places in real life.
No, 100%. And, you know, and, like, people make pretty harsh judgments on somebody just based on what they see in their feed, and they don't know anything about the actual person, you know?
Totally.
But in this industry and stuff, social media kind of plays a big role.
And, yeah, for sure.
You know, depending on where you want to do, where you want to go or how you want to do it, you know, so...
Be authentic, like, on social media.
Yeah, be authentic. Everything, yeah.
Chris Navio, Hurt, what are your thoughts on tuning new cars for drifting like the Supra compared to older cars that are more common?
I mean,
that's going to be expensive if you fuck up.
Yeah. I mean, new cars, I think, are great. I've seen, I haven't really seen the Mark V Super do it much other than, like, you know.
Like in FD, like, yeah, in, you know, drift with like a team.
Right. But I think they're releasing a manual version soon.
This year.
So that might change that vibe. I'm into it. I see new BMWs, Supras. I know the 400Z is going to drift a lot. Mm-hmm. The FRS BRZ, that community is pretty huge. Those cars are actually really cool.
Good
drivers. So I'm into new cars getting modded for drifting because that helps keep the sport going. Mm-hmm. It helps it thrive. So I'm fully into it. I'm not saying you shouldn't get old cars and do it too, but it's all about what you like, you know?
And what you can afford.
Right, that too.
Joshua Lamson says, looking back at your time at Hoonigan, what was the first moment you realized it was really starting to blow up?
The first time I realized this was starting to blow up, maybe, I think I was...
Traveling places and seeing people wearing the merch?
Well, the merch thing doesn't surprise me just because I'm at car events.
Yeah.
You know, it's like being at a car place and getting noticed, or being at a car place and seeing something that you worked on is just par for the course, right? But like being at a grocery store and someone's like,
yeah,
you know, and you're not prepared for that. You know, you're in pajamas, looking like dog shit. Yeah, you're like, oh, no, not me. No.
Yeah,
but you know, that's when I was in normal, super normal places, and people were recognizing me. That's when I was like, oh shit, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like, YouTube is...
That's a fun feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and I don't know. It never gets old. It's just really cool to know that you're impacting people in a positive way, so...
Miguel Flores, are we going to see any more Hoonicorn on This Versus That?
That's a good question.
Sounds like a Ken question.
Yeah, I don't have any inside info on you for that. I haven't heard anything about Hoonicorn coming down the pipeline, but there's always a chance because that car exists.
The rumor I heard was that they had felt they had kind of exhausted it for the time being.
It was, you know,
it was a pretty known quantity, and they wanted to branch out.
Yeah, we kind of did that a lot.
Joe says, what's the longest you've gone without breaking a car you own?
Define braking.
where you couldn't drive it to any.
You said you dailied your Skyline for 3 months.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I could still drive it. It's not technically broken.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that car's...
But you left it at home for a mechanical reason and drove a Corolla here instead. Yes. So, yes.
I'll go get it right now.
He's gonna fucking prove it.
The longest I've gone, I mean, Twerk Stallion had a really good run. I'm telling you, like, I don't know. That's a loaded question. I'm sorry, I can't fully answer it. I break shit.
Okay. So. Derek says, for Hurt, my friend owns the diesel BMW Ford mashup that you guys toasted the tires on a few weeks ago. Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I know what he's talking about, but I wasn't there.
Okay. How would you rate this build versus some of the other creations you see on a regular basis?
So I wasn't there, but I watched the video, and I love the concept of that people
are
doing.
What was the car?
It was like it was basically a diesel 335 thing with an old like 50s car on top of it, essentially.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I could have that wrong, but that was the concept. Oh, yeah. You know, interior.
I've seen a few of those that are real cool.
People were really like LS400s, mm-hmm. people are just taking the body off of those and putting...
Oh, neat.
Yeah, my friend Jake put like a 55 or something, some old ass.
Oh, cool. Like, I drove a car that was a Volvo Amazon, like from the 50s with an Evo underneath it.
Yeah, that's
crazy. Saw a guy who did one, something like that, a 50-something Ford with a 2015 Mustang underneath.
Yeah. So I love the concept.
Yeah, that's cool. That. Yeah. That is cool. And what makes an ideal Hoonigan Burnyard video car?
Cool, passionate person. And unique vehicle is pretty much the key to that. And also
the ability to actually do burnouts.
Right, yeah. Right. You know,
makes sense.
Yeah.
If it's weird and does burnouts, that's pretty
honestly,
much.
A lot of cars have come to the place where I don't think are cool. And then they do some wild ass shit. And then I fall in love with the car.
Sure.
You know,
that like, Bronco, whatever. Wasn't it Bronco doing like the 4-wheel drive? Axis spin.
That thing is ridiculous.
Like, if that showed up, you'd be like, all right, it's like a lifted old
truck.
Yeah,
and then it does some dumb shit, and you're like, hell yeah, I love that thing. I want one, you know? So that's the kind of car guy I am, I guess.
Sure. David says, if cars are designed after lifestyles, what lifestyle do you feel is least represented in the car market?
That's a really hard question.
If cars are designed after lifestyles.
What lifestyle doesn't have a representation? What lifestyle doesn't have? We'll come back to that one. I'm not sure.
I mean, I feel like any interest in cars, any whatever niche market or group, like they have representation, whether or not they're in your field of view, meaning your the person listening, like that's up to them. Like, I don't see a lot of VIP stuff in my social media because I don't follow a lot of it, but it doesn't mean it's underrepresented. It just means, there's only so many things you can pay attention to.
For me, drift is my lifestyle. And every car company ever uses drifting. This isn't a drift car, but check out this commercial. So
the LAPD recently tried to blame the fucking shenanigans on the 6th Street Bridge on car commercials.
Wow.
Please stop showing this dangerous driving in car commercials.
Wow.
Like, bro.
That's funny.
Please. I know, right?
It's Marilyn Manson's fault.
I think one thing I'm seeing is the shrinking offerings for affordable sports cars.
100%.
I mean, there used to be a lot more entry level rear wheel drive, affordable sports cars, and we said we have more $200,000 to $300,000 exotics than ever, and we've got more fucking eggs than ever,
even your the basic car now isn't so basic.
Yeah.
And, $60,000 plus.
Yeah.
And everything is Tesla, Tesla, Tesla. And it's like, those are all expensive cars.
Yeah.
And so seeing Toyota / Subaru hold it down with the BRZ, the FRS.
Well, they're figuring out, they got to like collab on these fucking cars.
Yeah.
Collabs are like so hot right now.
But that's a great car. It's lightweight. It's manual. It sounds cool and does whatever kind of driving you want it to do. And then for Toyota to be like, all right, you guys want it, so we'll try this manual thing out. Because also the Nissan 400Z is here.
Yeah.
So the Supra, I don't know if I would call it affordable.
It's not really.
Yeah.
The four-cylinder one kind of is, but it also kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's like, are you going to...
The BMW 230i is much nicer than the four-cylinder Supra, and they have the same engine. And the 230i feels way faster than the four-cylinder Supra, too. We just had it. It's not manual. It's automatic only. But it's like light, flickable... Great diff, great brakes.
I forgot that there was a four-cylinder Supra.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's very forgettable.
The 400Z is supposed to be kind of affordable, but
Still 40 to 50 grand plus markup.
Yeah. Dealerships aren't going to like let that thing just go for
It'll be affordable in 3 years.
Right.
Oliver Green says, we all know about the LS-swapped RX-7s, but where is the rotary-swapped Corvette?
Have you heard of Rob Dom?
Yeah, that's what I replied in chat.
Like, Rob Dom has a rotary swap.
Yeah, check out Rob Dom. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not going to be a common thing. Yeah. Corvettes are Corvettes for a reason.
Yeah.
You have to be an idiot to swap a rotary into a Corvette. I love you, Rob Dom.
Yeah.
Thank you for being our idiot.
Yeah.
Because it's wonderful.
yeah. But, he's a professional idiot.
Yeah, yeah. It's different. It's a skill, honestly. He's got, talent.
Domhall Murphy works at a Lexus dealership, and I have previously mentioned that Lexus dealerships in the late 90s and early 2000s were the creme de la creme of dealership experiences. What made them so memorable? I mean, really extended service hours. The Lexus dealer by us, when my mom had her cars, was literally, the service department was open until midnight.
Yeah.
So you could work in, and it was right next to the train station. So my dad would drop the car off for service, take the train into work, come home from work at like 8:30 at night, and then go get his car from service right after that. Like, they had like really good coffee in the waiting room. They weren't like pushy. They just really understood. They always had tons of loaner cars.
Yeah.
You always got a loaner. It was just generally product confident, non-pushy sales and service experience. They were great.
So for a while I had a 2009 IS250 and I used to change my own oil and stuff like that. And then a friend of mine's like, why don't you just take this thing to the Lexus? And I was like, it's cheap. He was telling me how cheap it was. I was like, it can't be cheap to get an oil change at a dealership.
Yeah.
Went to the dealership, it's $35. They give you a car wash. You get water.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I've been doing this. Like, you can't beat that experience. Yeah. I was like, it was great.
And a lot of that stuff that is stuff that a high-end dealer would do today. But not everybody was doing that back in, like, they had to start doing that because in the 90s, Lexus was smoking people.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have the market share today that they had back then, but, like, it was so much better than everything else, especially if you came out of, like, American cars or lower-end Japanese cars. The showrooms, marble floors and brass and glass. I mean, they had to build all new dealers, and so.
It was kind of mind-blowing.
It was amazing. Yeah. And then, oh, by the way, the cars never broke.
Right.
On top of that.
Honestly.
Lexuses did not break. I mean, my mom never had to take any. She had 5 RXs. Never took one to a dealer for anything besides regular service, ever.
That's probably why the oil changes are so cheap. The service guys are bored.
Yeah, like, right.
You gotta get something to do.
They're not fixing shit.
I mean, it just keeps you coming back for sure.
Yeah.
You know? And, I don't know. I love Lexus.
I do, too. I still love Lexus. Yeah, their V8s are awesome. That 5-liter V8's great.
I took my GS300, painted it, lowered it, put a body kit on it, put a 600-horsepower 2J in it. Drove it across country.
Stole Lexus.
From Long Beach to Florida.
You had a couple stops along the way. I watched that video series.
A couple stops.
I'm just going to call you out a little bit. A
couple stops.
But, maybe not straight across the country.
But I applauded your ambition, and I do like what you do with that kind of stuff. Like,
I appreciate
that was really
that,
cool. It's very cool
that.
To watch.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for coming in, man.
Dude, it's my pleasure.
We need to work on your Instagram DM game. You're the worst Instagram DMer ever.
So, fun fact, Matt hit me up in 2018 to do this show. and then he DMs me a couple weeks ago to re-invite me because I'm not gonna lie,
the conversation
look I'm not gonna lie to you, like, for years I'm like, man, Matt has never asked me to come on the show. And then you messaged me a couple weeks ago. I'm like, oh shit, here it is. And then I scroll up and I see 2018. Hey, you want to come on my show? I'm like, oh.
And you were like, yeah, let's do it. And then disappeared.
And I also DM'd you, and I don't have the check mark, but I DM'd you saying, like, would you like to come on the TST podcast? Like, trying to get guests because that's my job.
Yeah.
Now I have your phone number, so it's easier. Dude, we don't have to go through that system.
Dude, I'm stoked to come back.
This
is
fun. I'm glad you finally did it.
I don't know.
Your story's crazy.
I haven't done a lot of podcasts, but I like this. This is cool.
Radio's great, isn't it? I love fucking radio.
So if you ever want me as just a side piece, you need some backup, hit me up.
Fuck yeah. Well, I want to drive the RX-7.
All right.
Yeah, go, yeah. Now so we gotta, we'll collab
do
over
that
there.
And a podcast
for
on top
sure.
of it.
For yeah, sure. Dude. Thank you for coming, man. Hurt Life on Instagram, HERTLIFE. And of course, on all the fucking Hoonigan properties. Thanks, man. And read that Road and Track article. It's in your Instagram bio. It's a great piece. You did a great job. And
no, you did.
As editor-at-large for Road and Track, yeah. I'm fucking proud that it's in my magazine.
Yeah.
Are you going to Pebble Beach?
No. I've never. I mean, give me an invite. I'll
you
go.
Should. Yeah. God damn, would I love to get your take on Pebble Beach.
Give me an invite.
I just want to see the
dude, I wonder if fucking... I'm going to call Road and Track. I'm going to see if we have a pass.
Yeah, give me in.
If
there.
We have a pass, when that'll be... It's like in 2 weeks.
Yeah, give me in.
Dude.
Well, wait.
Oh,
August 18th to 22nd.
I know who's in charge of their passes.
I do, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, of course I do, but yeah.
I think I'm around for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to see if I can get you a pass.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, there's the fucking story.
I'm super down.
All right. Have fun with your mom at the airport.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Go to PT, Zach. We're on time. See you guys later.